Well, thank you. It's really not the Buckeye. It's been the blue and white on my microphone here that you see. That's what's really given me the power. I asked for that. He gave me the choice between the red one or the blue one. I said, I'll take the blue. Thank you very much. Oh, man. But no, it's been great to be here with you all and be here with Pastor Krell. And man, I told Shannon, I said, he's just been so good for me. Just his graciousness and his just love for you all. Every time we would sit to pray, he would tell me of some needs in the church, and he's so in tune with where you all are at, and with and has just such a heart and a soft heart for you all. So that's been so good for me, because I'm a little high strung, and sometimes I get a little carried away and think things need to go a certain way and start shoving it. But he showed me just a different way, and it's been great. It's been really good. Now, some of you probably, after seeing me for the last couple nights, think Seth probably just goes home, sleeps, and then comes back. And as long as you don't ask my wife this, I'll tell you something else that I do. That if you ask her, she might tell you that that's all I do. But the other thing that we do is I work at a camp called Camp Canisataki on the other side of State College. And I just wanted to tell you, just real briefly, that's what we do. I'm up there. We have our food service director is Joy is her name. And then I just hired a facilities director. His name's Tyler. We've been just so blessed to see. We saw 575 boys and girls and teens come through last summer. And it's looking like we're going to be able to reach over 600, but really the greatest part of camp ministry is really what we've been doing here all week. The thing that makes camp so effective in the lives and hearts of kids and teens is three things. It's a controlled environment, a committed staff, and a concentration on God's Word. And really, that's why I believe these weeks like we had this week are so effective and so powerful. Is because, and really that last point is the one that really hits home, is the concentration on God's Word. And when I was 18 years old, my heart had wandered, and I had followed the world, and I couldn't wait to get out of my mom and dad's house and go do all the things that I was told I shouldn't do, because I believed that God was holding something back from me. And you know what? My mom and dad, in their wisdom, sent me to a camp in South Carolina, not for 1 week, but for 2 weeks, because they knew how bad I was. And you know what? That first week of camp, you know what? God began to change me, and I realized that, you know what? God wasn't holding good things back from me, but He was keeping me from destroying myself. And you know what? I realized that, and God changed that in me, but you know what? Through the course of my teen years, I got very angry with my parents and with God about not letting me do what I wanted to do. And you know what? That second week, the first night of the second week of that camp, the preacher got up and he preached on Proverbs 25:28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. And that night I realized that my attitude was my choice. I was choosing to be angry with my parents and with God, and that I needed to change that. And that night I'll never forget, and those 2 weeks I'll never forget. And so that's why I'm very passionate about camp and what camp can do in a life. And so, you know, after the service, we have a little table set up back there. If you'd like to learn more about it, we'd love to talk to you. Actually, this Saturday, May 9th, we actually have an open house up there from 10 till 3. So if you want to see it, want to see kind of what we do and where we live and where we work, that's where we'll be May 9th, this Saturday. So just wanted to tell you a little bit about that real quick before we dive into God's Word. And tonight, you know what? I love seeing all these kids. Why? Kids? You know why? Because you know what? I feel like we're at the same energy level. You know what I mean? We're ready to go crazy at any moment, right? Some of you are already starting to go crazy, and that's good. You know, and older people, what I started to realize, you guys are beautiful. I just want to tell you that. You're the best looking older crowd I've ever seen in my life. Okay? But here's the thing. You know, what helps me speak to people that are a little bit older is that, you know what, I know you guys are just kids with wrinkles. That's it. You know what I mean? You still love to have fun too. And so that really helps me. But tonight, you know what, I felt that the Lord wanted us to take a look at something that I feel was just so important to look at. And that is The question that each one of us, does it matter if you're 2 years old tonight or 92? You know what? I think everybody, whether you love God with all your heart or you're at the point right now where you're like, I don't know about God. You know what? You'll come to this question. Is God good? Is God good? Why do I say that? Because everybody's going to have something hard happen in their life. And I'll tell you what, even this week, being here, I mean, there's been some really hard things happen this week here at this church and in this community. Really hard. And so I think it leads you to a question, is God good? Is He really good? Like, we talk about it, we say those words, but is He really good? And even if you say, maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I don't even believe in God. God, no way. You would be called an atheist. And you know what? The big thing that I've heard every atheist I've talked to says this. They say this. If there is a God, how could there be evil in the world? And what they're implying is this. They're implying this. If there is a God, then He would be good. And they can't wrap their mind around that actually in the world, because there's evil, they think that negates the ability of an almighty, sovereign, loving God. That's what they imply. And so tonight, we're going to look at that question. And I believe that God's word describes it, declares it, defines it, and demonstrates it. And if you want to turn somewhere, if you have a Bible, turn to Psalms 107:1. Turn to Psalms 107:1. This is a psalm that you all know, and really Psalms 100, where one of the girls just said almost these exact words that we read in Psalms 107:1. Psalms 107:1, though, says this. It says this: Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We're just going to pray, and then we're going to dive right in to God, is God good? Lord, as we come to Your word tonight, everybody knows where I'm going with this. But Lord, I'm sure there are some hearts tonight that are really struggling with this question. And Lord, You know who they are. And You know exactly what the situation is they're struggling with. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's a relational conflict, whether it's just the unknown of where the next step they're going to take is. And they're questioning that, is God good? Is He going to be good to me? Lord, I've tasted, I've seen that You are good. And I pray that tonight Your word would define it and would describe it and would be so clear that everybody here tonight, we would be able to only say one thing, and that is, You are good. Lord, help us to do that tonight. Lord, give me the grace, give me the peace, give me the words to say. We love You and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, if you're taking notes, here it is. The Bible declares God's goodness. The Bible declares it. Where does it start? I'll tell you where it starts. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what He did? The Bible begins then to describe exactly what God created. Well, the first thing that God created was the light. And when He created the light, tell me, what did He say as soon as He was done creating the light? And it was good. Exactly. God, tell me this, boys and girls, do you like the light? Tell me, do you like being in the dark? No. I'll tell you a story about me being in the dark. My mom and dad always, it was my job. I don't know if you guys have jobs, but I had a job when I was a kid. And you know what I had to do? I had to take out the trash. That was my job. You know what? But you know what? My mom and dad would never remind me that was my job until it got dark. Yes. And you know what? I hated the dark. And you know what? Mom, and they would say, Seth, did you take out the trash? And I would say, no. Is that my job? And they would say, yes, it is your job. And you need to take it out right now. And I would be like, no, it's dark outside. I don't want to take it outside. And they would say, nope, you should have remembered. You're taking it outside. And man, I was scared of the dark. And you know what? So I would, and back, I don't know why, but we didn't have flashlights around, and all of our flashlights didn't have batteries. And I would go look, and there was no, I did, so I would turn on every light, try to get as much light as far outside the door, and then I'd run as fast as I could, and as soon as I got to the burn barrel, I'd throw it in, and I would scream at the top of my lungs and run back in to try to scare any boogeyman or anything that was out there that could have got me, okay? So you know what, from an early age, I'm with you. I love the light. The light is good, right? We love that. And you know what? When we see God beginning to describe his creation, why did God create the world? When the question is, why did he do that? Well, you know what? He did it for one reason, and we see it right off the bat in his wording. Why did he create things? You know what? For a long time, I thought it was for me. I thought it was because, well, yeah, it's for me, and it's for me to enjoy. Well, you know what? No, he didn't. He created everything. He created the world to show one thing, that he is good. That's what he did. And so then the Bible goes on, and he created the light. And then what else did he create? He created also, I'm going to just go down through real quick. He created the heavens and the earth. And then what did he say? He said, the heaven and the earth, and it was good. And then he said this, he said, and he made the land and the sea, and it was good, and the animals and the birds, and it was good. Tell me this, how many of you have a dog at home? How many of you have a pet dog? Yeah, do you like your dog? Yeah, me too. We actually had two dogs. I love dogs. Love dogs. We have a golden retriever named Nelly. Yeah, we love golden retrievers. My mom and dad, we raised them and had puppies, and oh man, it was a wonderful thing, wonderful thing. How many of you guys have a cat? Anybody have a cat? Yeah, okay, we got some cats. Good, good, good. How many of you guys hit cats with baseball bats? Yeah, some? Okay, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. Politically incorrect. I know. But it's true. You know, you kind of want to hit them. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, animals. God created the animals, and he said that it was good. And you know what? If you've ever deer hunted and you eat deer, you know that it even tastes good. That's another wonderful thing. Man, so God did those things. And then what else did he make? He made fruits and vegetables, and they were good. Yeah, kids, God made broccoli, and it was good. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I heard one bad. Yeah, I know. You know what? It might not taste good, but tell me this. Is it good for you? It is. Broccoli is good for you. And other vegetables that you might not like I used to tell everybody that tomatoes will kill you. That's what I said, because I did not like tomatoes, and I was like, tomatoes will kill you. They will. You know what? And then he says this. Then he gets to the apex of his creation. You know what? He made man, and behold, what did he say? It was very good. It's very good. Hey, teen guys, are you glad that God made girls? Are you glad? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Yeah? Hey, girls, are you glad that God made boys? Yes, yes. Hey, how many of you could say, it doesn't matter right now? It doesn't matter. Okay, there you guys are. All the kids in the back are like, it doesn't matter. I agree. You'll get there eventually, don't worry. But here's the point. You know what? God created man in his own image. And you know what? What God is declaring at the beginning of creation is this one thing, is that he is good. He is good. And that what he does is very good. In Exodus 34:4, it says this, and in verse 5, the Lord merciful and gracious and abounding in goodness and truth. The Lord is merciful and gracious and abounding in goodness and truth. And he said that to a group of people called Israel. The Jewish people that came out of Abraham, the line, his chosen people. And you know what? Those people, he told them, and they hung on to this saying for their entire life, the Lord is merciful and gracious and abounding in goodness and truth. So number one, God declares that he is good, and he did it from the beginning of time. And we see it in his creation, how good he really is. Number two, the Bible defines God's goodness. So it declares it and it defines it. Because, you know, we can go around and we do this all the time. What do? You go up to somebody and say, how are you doing? Good, right? That's the automatic answer, right? Even if you're not really good, you say that I'm good. So really, what is good? When I say good, what does that really look like? Well, we understand good, even though we might not be able to describe it right away. We understand what a good day and a bad day looks like, right? We understand that. Intuitively, we understand that. We understand what a good job and a bad job is. You know, we understand what that is. If we work for a good boss or a bad boss. We understand a good teacher or a bad teacher, right, kids? You guys know what that is, amen? Yeah, yeah, you've had a good teacher and you've had a bad teacher. You know where I'm at. That's right. A good meal and a bad meal. You know what? But here's really what good means, okay? When God says that he is good, listen to this. God's goodness, what is God's goodness? It's his desire for your well-being. You know what? When you have a good boss, you know that boss is looking out for your best interest. You know, when you have a good teacher, you know that teacher's there to make sure that you succeed, that you're able to move forward. And they're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. So that's how God begins to define himself. I think the second thing, so it's your well-being, and then not only that he desires for you to be well, but you know what? He provides for that too. It's not just like, I hope you do well. You know what? God has the power to actually carry through on his well-being for you. His provision to provide for that well-being. And you know what? God spreads his goodness. You can imagine it like this, like a four-year-old spreads peanut butter. He gets it all over everything. You know what? When God is good, he's good to everybody, everywhere. And how do we know that? Because God just says it in his word. He says he's good. He reigns on the just and on the unjust. You know what? The farmer that farms on Sunday and doesn't know that it's the Lord's day gets rain just like the farmer that farms and takes Sunday off and makes sure he goes to church and honors God on the Sabbath. You know what? God is good to even people that are so bad. You know where we learn this? We learn this in a little story called Jonah. Jonah. Now, kids, what happened to Jonah? What? He got swallowed by a fish. You got it. Do you know why he got swallowed by a fish? I'll tell you. You know what? Because God told him to go and preach to who? Ninevites. Very good. Yeah. But you know what? You know what Jonah did when God told him that? You know what he did? He ran the opposite way. And you know what? Then he got on a boat heading the opposite direction, and a storm happened, and the people that were running the boat knew that God was judging, so they threw Jonah overboard, right? And he got swallowed by a big fish, got to go on a 3-day cruise in a big fish, and not a very fun cruise, but you know what? He finally submitted and said, God, I'll do what you ask. So he goes, and he goes to Nineveh, but you know what? And really, what he was supposed to do, he was a prophet, and he was supposed to preach. And you know what? Preachers were supposed to preach because they wanted people to get saved. And you know what? When he went and he went to Nineveh and he preached, and you know what? A revival happened. Everybody turned and began to obey God, even the king. And you know what? That's how revival breaks out, everybody. You know what? If revival's going to break out in Mifflinburg, you know what has to happen? People need to start obeying God. That's how revivals break out. And so here's Jonah, and revival breaks out. He's supposed to be happy about this. Is he happy? No. He gets angry, and he comes to God in Jonah 4, verse 2. This is what he says. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this what I was saying? When I was in my country, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew. What did he know about God? Listen. That you are gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great in kindness. And because those that repent of evil. He knew that about God. That's why he didn't want to go preach, because the Ninevites were the arch enemy of his people, and they destroyed his people. Jonah might have even seen his parents die at the end of the sword of the Ninevites. You know what? But he knew God well enough to know that God's good to even people that are bad and awful. And if they will obey God and turn to him and repent, even Jonah knew that God would be good to them. And so we see that not only is God's goodness defined, but you know what? It's declared, and there we just saw it defined. And number three, we're going to move along here quickly. Number three, what else? The Bible describes God's goodness. So we see that it's declared that he's good. It's defined that he's good. He's looking out for our well-being. Even those of us that might be bad, and we think that, how could God reach me? I've been bad to him. Well, God wants to be good to even the worst of us. So that's how it's defined. And then it's described. God's goodness is, how would you describe goodness? I would say it like this, boys and girls. It's what draws us to him. You know what? Honestly, it might even be what drew you here tonight. That you know that being here at the church is good, and it's fun, and it's exciting. And that's why you come on Wednesday nights, is because it's good. Maybe teens, that's why you come on Wednesday nights for the after-school program, is because it's good. And that's really what it is. It's what draws us to God, is his goodness. It's kind of like, you could think about it as a Saturday afternoon barbecue. The smell of a Saturday afternoon barbecue is what draws us to that. You know what? When you're walking through a garden and you see a rose, its beauty is what draws us to it. And that's the same thing about God. When you look at God, it's his, when you see his goodness, it's what draws us to him. Goodness, you can also say it like this, it's his satisfying quality. Jeremiah 31:14 says this, "And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness," says the Lord. Do you want to be satisfied? I think this is a great hymn line. You'll recognize this. "Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee." You know what? God's goodness is what binds us to him. In Psalms 23, God is describing, David is using the analogy of being a sheep, and that God is our shepherd. And at the end of Psalms 23, it says that goodness and his mercy are what drives us back to him like sheepdogs. Like a sheepdog. And that's what continues to bring us back to God, is his goodness. Is his goodness to us and for us. That he's looking out for our well-being. And that he has the power to provide for that well-being. He describes his goodness. Psalms 27:13 says this, "I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Have you ever been in a place where you're about to faint? Where you don't know if you can go any farther or any longer? I know I've talked to a lot of younger kids in elementary school, and sometimes school can be tough, especially if you have any type of deformity or maybe your mind isn't quite as quick as everybody else, or maybe you're not quite as fast on the sports team as everybody else. And you know what? School can be a very tough environment with other kids your age. And you might have felt like, I don't know that I can do this anymore. One of the leading causes of death in teenagers is because of suicide. You know what? They think that life, if this is all that life has to offer, it's not worth it anymore. And what an awful way to think. But you know what? The way the world is today, sometimes it drives us to that. You know what? And you might be in the same boat, that you are about to faint. But you know what? I want to tell you about a guy real quickly by the name of Joseph. in Genesis. And Joseph, Genesis 37 through 50, if you know the story of Joseph, and most of you do, you know what? Joseph was forsaken by his family. He was sold. You know what? So he was forsaken. Have you ever been forsaken? Has anybody ever left you somewhere and not remembered you? Or maybe you come back. Maybe it's somebody that you used to be your best friend and you were excited. And you know what? They forgot who you were. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it's happened to me. Not only that, but then you know what? So he was forgotten by his family, sold into slavery. He got bought by Potiphar. He kept trusting God. Starts going up the ladder for Potiphar. And then what happens? Boom. He's tempted. He doesn't go into temptation. You know what? He's tempted. He does the right thing. He says, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And you know what? She gets him thrown into prison. Boom. He gets nailed again. Oh, man. It's awful. So he's in prison. And then he moves to the next thing. You know what? Some people come in. He tells them their dreams. He was right. He gives glory to God and says, don't forget me. And they forgot him. From the time he was 17 till the time he was 30, you know what? It was like everything was going wrong. Any little uptick and it went bad. And you know what? So he's forgotten till he's 30. Then the king has a dream and he's remembered. You know what? And you know what? God takes him out of the prison. He's making the king tons of money. He's second in command now. He's 37 years old, and look what happens. Famine in the land, his brothers show up at the door. And you know what? Does he quote his favorite Bible verse to his brothers? What goes around comes around? Is that his favorite Bible verse? No, that's not his favorite Bible verse. You know what he says to them? He says this. He says, you know what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you know what? Sometimes we may feel like we're fainting, like God's forgotten about us, but you know what? He hasn't. And that's how he describes himself. And you know what? The last thing, right as we finish here, I want to hit on is this, that God demonstrates his goodness. How does he demonstrate it? So, number one, he declares it. He defines it. He describes it. And the last thing is he demonstrates it. How does he demonstrate it? We go back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. He created two people, Adam and Eve, perfect. These people are perfect, have a perfect nature. He puts them in a garden that is perfect, and he even walks with them, the Bible says, in the evening and talks with them and has a great relationship with them. One thing they can't do, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what happens? No problem. Satan comes into the picture. And you know what he says to them? And he said this to me, and I fell for it. And you know what? He might be doing it to you too. He says this. He says, did God really say not to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil? Put it in our language. You know what? Is God really keeping that back from you? Isn't it good for food? Satan said. And you know what? She believed it. Eve believed it. And Adam took also and ate of the fruit. And you know why? People tell me this all the time. It was just a piece of fruit. Who cares? Well, I'll tell you what. Have you ever been so good to somebody and taken such good care of them and tried to be so kind to them, and they took your goodness and your kindness and twisted it on you and turned it on you, and you know what? Stabbed you in the back with it. That is some of the worst pain ever. You know what? And God had every right at that point to do this, to throw them out of the garden and leave them to themselves and leave them go to hell to be separate from God forever. But what did he do? You know what? God's good. He didn't do what he could have done. You know what he did? Genesis 3:15 says this. God started the plan of salvation by preaching this. And this is what it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know what Jesus is going to... God said this, Jesus is coming. And you know what? He made a way for people that were so bad and that turned on him. That's because that's who God is. He's good to people that are so bad to Him. And you know what? Even the worst person, the worst atheist that ever lived and that turned their back on God, you know what? And that cursed His name, you know what? If they will turn back to God and repent and say, God, I was wrong. You are good and You are always looking out for my good, even in the worst circumstance. You know what? He'll save you. Most of you have seen God's goodness in your life and He saved you from your sins, but maybe there's one tonight that hasn't. That hasn't accepted this fact. The Bible says this in Psalms 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you ever tried something and you just wanted to eat it more and more? You know what? I was over at the Shoreman's on Sunday afternoon, and I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've ever had Alice's stuff, but man, I'll tell you what, I just didn't want to stop, and I just kept eating and eating, and I just got so full, I couldn't barely. I went into like a food coma. Because it was so good. And I'll tell you what, if you've ever tasted and seen God's goodness, and you might be in a low time right now, you might not even think that you're going to be able to get out of this thing and you're not going to make it. I'll tell you what, this is the time when you need to go to God and cling to His promises, and you need to taste and see that He is good, and He's looking out for your well-being. Even though you might not be able to see it right now, He's going to take care of any need that you have. And I have to close, and I have to stop. But I'll tell you what, have you ever known God's goodness? Have you ever tasted? Have you ever seen? Because He is good. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I'm sorry if that was too quick. I'm sorry if that was in a hustle. But man, the Lord is good. His word describes it, it defines it, it declares it, and He demonstrated His goodness when we were so bad to Him. You know what? He made a way through Jesus Christ. And some people think, why did He wait? Why, if everybody says He's coming back someday, why hasn't He come back for over 2,000 years? You know why? It's because He wants you to come to Him. It's because He wants you to become one of His children and to see that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior. Is there anybody tonight that would say, you know what, Seth, I've never known of God's goodness and I never knew that I was a sinner till tonight, till you said that. If anybody here tonight would say, you know what, tonight's the night that God opened my eyes to this, would you just raise your hands? You can keep your eyes closed and just bow your heads and close your eyes and raise your hand if you have never known that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Great. Great. And is there anybody tonight that would say, Seth, you know what? God is good, but you know what? I'm struggling with that tonight. I'm going through some tough things. And you know what? I've been struggling with, is God good? Does He care about me? Would anybody raise their hand and say, Seth, I'm struggling with that. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Let me pray for you all as we close tonight. Lord, I just want to thank You for how good You are to us. And Lord, through the Scriptures, we see how You were good to people that were so bad to You. And in Joseph's story, we can put ourselves and realize that, you know what? All things work together for good to them that love You. And that You care about every circumstance in our life and any heartbreak that we're maybe facing right now. Lord, I pray that You would comfort, You'd wrap Your arms around those tonight that need You, for those in this community that need You this weekend. And I pray for the services on Saturday that people would come to know of Your goodness and would accept You as their Savior this weekend. Even through this tough time, I pray that You would show Your power in hearts to overcome sin and death. And Lord, we love You and thank You for how good You are to me, even though I've been so bad to You, and I embrace Your goodness tonight. We love You and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.